Amen. Some of us are walking by faith this morning. And I know a little bit about faith, I think. I believe I can talk just a little bit about faith. I remember when I was a little child and, you know, we would go through the tunnel. And I was a little afraid because there was no light in the tunnel. It was always dark. And I couldn't wait to get to the other side of the tunnel. And I knew I was getting through the tunnel because I saw a little bit of light. Sometimes in our life, we just need to see a little bit of light to make it through the tunnel that we're going through. Amen? As I would go through the tunnel, I would look at the bricks, I would look at the walls, and I would say to myself, what if all of the water just started coming in the tunnel? What would we do? What would I do? I wouldn't have nowhere to run because I couldn't outrun the water. But those were thoughts that were in my mind, so it represented fear. So I want to tell you this morning that if you're in a tunnel and you don't see a light, you're walking in fear. Amen? You don't have faith because you're walking in fear. But I want to talk about a person this morning who was in a tunnel. Amen? He believed that he was in a tunnel, but he thought that there was some light somewhere. Amen? And the only way that he could walk to the light is he had to walk by faith. This morning, the only way you're going to be able to get to the light and walk in the light is to walk by faith. Amen? So we're going to turn our attention to the book of John. Now, we know that the Gospels is four. Genesis, four books. I'm in the Old Testament. I have to get to the New Testament. The Gospel is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Amen? And there's a difference between Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And the thing that I love about John is John doesn't beat around the bush. John gets right to the subject matter. Amen? You know, some of the other books talks about the genealogy of Jesus, and it's you're reading it, and you're like, well, what is all of this about? Amen? Others talk about how he was born, where he was born, and all these other circumstances. But John starts like this. In the beginning was the Word. Period. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And by the time you get to verse 6 of chapter 1 of John, he's already talking about John the Baptist. He's not talking about Mary. He's not talking about Joseph. He's already talking about John the Baptist. Amen? So the book of John goes directly into taking us into the message of Christ that the forerunner, John the Baptist, has already proclaimed. And it is important for us to realize that John is writing because Jesus is ready at harvest time. And that's the most important part of Jesus' life. It is harvest time. Amen? So the first sign that we realize in John is that Jesus is at a wedding. And you know, we boys, we do what mama says, right? We don't necessarily listen to pop. Can I get an amen? I know there's a lot of mothers out there. Can I get an amen? You tell your son to do something, they do it. Jesus' mother said, listen, we ran out of wine at the party, at this wedding. You need to do something. And he did it. That's the first miracle. There's no other miracle recorded of Jesus at all. So what's the first thing we must learn as men and as boys? Do what mama say do. Amen? So Jesus did what his mother said, and that was his first miracle. And I'm sure that he really wasn't ready, because he didn't come down to earth to just turn water into wine. He had bigger fish to fry. Amen? But in John, the second sign was the healing of the nobleman's son. Amen? So I want to make a little distinction this morning between signs and wonders, because we always hear about signs and wonders. Amen? Signs and wonders both refer to miracles. But signs are miracles that have a deep meaning. There's a lot of significance behind it. But wonders are miracles that cause men to be amazed by the supernatural qualities. So in the early part of John, we realize that Jesus met the woman of Samaria by the well. And as a result of him just speaking to her, interacting with her, talking to her, amen, she became a convert. As a matter of fact, she became an evangelist, amen. She believed on the Lord just because of what he said to her. And all she did is ran around and she told people, he told me all that I ever did. So I want you to just take a minute and look over your life. I don't need you to look to the left, and I don't need you to look to the right. I need you to think about if somebody came to you and told you all that you ever did. All. I see some people shaking their heads. All that you ever did. Now let me explain something about this woman. She did a lot. She did a lot. Maybe me, maybe you could say some of the things that we know that she did. But we would not know all that she ever did. I might know you, you might know me, but there's a certain part of me and there's a certain part of you that neither one of us know all that we ever did. So she went and she said, he told me all that I ever did. And on the basis of who that woman was and those words that she spoke, people came to Christ. Amen? Now, Jesus already knew. You see, Jesus knew all that she ever did, but Jesus also knew that there was a difference between the Jews and the Gentiles. Amen? You see, the Samaritans and this woman appreciated the fact of who Christ was. They appreciated the encouragement that Christ gave them. They understood the testimony of what Christ can do for them. So they understood just by speaking words of who and what Jesus was. But the Jews needed a sign. Amen? The Jews needed a sign. So we go to John, the 4th chapter, verses 46 to 54. And it reads, NIV version, and it reads as thus. Once more, he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned water into wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judah, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. Unless you people see signs and wonders, Jesus told him, you will never believe. The royal official said, sir, come down before my child dies. Go, Jesus replied, your son will live. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. While he was still on his way, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. When he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, "Yesterday, at 1 p.m, the fever left him." Then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." So he and his whole household believed. This was the second sign Jesus performed after coming from Judea to Galilee. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Now this man had a sick son. He had heard that Jesus had come to Galilee. He had heard that Jesus could probably heal the sick. He probably heard that Jesus turned water into wine. He must have had some kind of faith in the ability of Christ to heal because he came directly to Christ. Understand that this was a noble man. He had some rank in the government. Amen. He could have sent somebody to go get Jesus for him, but he came himself. He came directly to Jesus. I just need to say that sometimes in healing, you don't need to send a messenger. But you need to go directly to Jesus. Sometimes you say, "I need you to pray for me." But maybe you don't get that person you want to pray for you. You need to go directly to Jesus. Now, the distance between Galilee and Capernaum is somewhere between 16.7 miles and 25 miles. But when you're on your way and you need healing, who's counting the miles? Amen? Whatever the distance was, this man was going to go get to Jesus. I'm saying to you this morning, whatever the distance is, you must get and go for your healing. The scripture says he went to Jesus and begged him to go and heal his son. I'm sure that he wanted Jesus to go to his son. Amen? Think about it. He's a noble person. He's a noble man. He's got a status. And he's going to go tell Jesus, "Come see about my boy." You would think that Jesus needed to touch the boy. Maybe Jesus needed to speak a word into his ear. Amen? Because there's so many times we read in the Bible that there was a touch involved. Amen? The woman touched the hem of his garment. So we believe that sometimes the touch has got to be physical. But this man had a question. Would Jesus come and heal my son? But Jesus simply told them, "Go." That's all Jesus said. "Go and your son will live." He spoke it and the man believed it. But before Jesus said go, he gave a lesson. Whenever you look in the Bible and you go through what Jesus does, there's a lesson in there somewhere. Amen? Before Jesus said go, there's a lesson. He said in verse 48, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will never believe." So there's something in there that maybe that sometimes before you get your healing, maybe sometimes you before you get what you need, maybe after you've gone through something and Jesus is getting ready to do it for you, there's a lesson in there. It's pretty quiet in here, but that's okay. Sometimes there's a lesson that goes on before you get your blessing. Do we have that? Speaking not only to this nobleman, Jesus was speaking to the Jewish people in general. Jesus reminded them of a cultural characteristic that they desired to see miracles before they would believe. Jesus is not pleased with a faith that requires a miracle before you believe. Some people say, well, if Jesus does this for me, then I'll believe. But Jesus loves it more when you just believe his word rather than a miracle performed. It is more honoring to Jesus to believe him simply because he said it. Amen? How many times have we read in the Bible where Jesus has said, because you believe, it is done? It is a characteristic of us to say we need to see it before we believe it. How many times have you said something to somebody and they said, I need to see it before I believe it? That goes on in your family. Amen? I remember my kids, I was going to take them to Florida to go to Disney. And they had to see it before they believed it. Now, I know that talked about the character of me, but still, at the same time, they needed to see it before they believed it. But as people that know Christ, Christ teaches us the opposite, that we should first believe and then we will see. So I'm saying something to somebody this morning, that you need to believe and then you'll see. This nobleman had faith that believed a visit from the Lord would do more than anything else. But in one sense, his faith was defective. His faith was defective. Are you walking around this morning with a defective faith? Are you walking with a defective faith? Because this man thought that Jesus needed to be by the bedside. Somebody's sick this morning, and you believe that you got to be by the bedside praying for them? No, you don't. Call on the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. But Jesus did not rebuke this man, but he rewarded him for the measure of faith that he did exhibit. He tells the man, go, your son will live. And the man took Jesus at his word and departed. He believed what Jesus said and started back home. So here, the Bible doesn't say he started questioning Jesus. The Bible doesn't say he started to force Jesus. The Bible said he started to go. So as he started to go, his faith was beginning to increase. He was beginning his walk of faith. That was faith in action. I'm going to give you a statement this morning, and I think that maybe you need to write this down. If you don't write it down, get it from somebody else, because somebody's going to write this down. For faith, there must be an indication. There must be a demonstration, and then comes the vindication. There must be an indication. You got to confess with your mouth. There has to be a demonstration. You have to walk by faith. And then the vindication comes when your faith comes through, when God does what you've asked him to do. What was on this man's mind as he walked home? We know that it must have taken about 12 hours for him to walk home. He couldn't call an Uber. He couldn't get in the car. He couldn't drive home. Maybe he had a horse. Maybe he had a donkey. Maybe he had a camel. Who knows what it is that he had? But whatever it was that he had, at some point he was in the dark. And you know, sometimes when it gets dark, our minds start to wander. So this man was going home in the dark, and he probably wished that he was home by his little boy's bedside at that point. Amen? He probably wished that he could be right there with him as he was going through whatever it is that he was going through. You know when it's nighttime. You know when you got things on your mind. The minutes turn into hours, and the hours turn into days. But what kept him going? It was that light at the end of this tunnel that he believed that he was in. It was faith in the light of the world. It was his faith that carried him home. The only thing that kept him going was faith in what Jesus says. And from the scripture, we know that as even before he arrived at the house, the scripture says, while he was still on his way, his servants met him. The servants were happy. It says the servants met him with the news that his boy was living. You see, the man wasn't really shocked by the announcement because he had faith. He wasn't shocked by the announcement because he believed in the promise of Jesus Christ. But he was there now to see the evidence. But he still had a defection in his faith because he said, well, what time did he get better? It wasn't outright blatant, but he asked another question. What time? What time? Have Jesus ever did something for you, but then you had another question? You know, you have to be complete with Jesus. You have to know what it is that you really want when you ask. And then you blame Jesus, but no, you didn't ask for the right thing. You didn't think it all the way through. The man says, well, what time did my boy get better? And they told him what time his son got better. And the nobleman realized that the very moment, not an hour later, not a half a day later, not a day later, but the very moment that Jesus said, go, your son will live. The very moment that Jesus said that is the very moment that his son was healed. It wasn't gradual. It was instant. There was no doubt that at the same time, we talk about a God, we serve a God that can do things instantaneously. He can do things in a twinkling of an eye if you only believe. Amen? All of us have some situation. All of us have problems. We got family members that are sick. We got people in our family that are in desperate situations. Some may be physically sick. Some might be not physically, but they got some things going on, and you wonder what's going on in their head. You ever look at somebody and say, well, what were you thinking about? What are you doing? Some may be going astray in their lives. Some may have disease. Some might have financial problems. Some might have just lost their direction. We know that what we go through in this life is not easy. But how is your faith walk this morning? See, faith doesn't guarantee that our life is going to be easy. There's going to be times when we're going to be going through that tunnel. It's going to be dark. We don't know what's waiting around the corner. We don't know how many things are going to be weighing on our hearts tomorrow or the next day or even right now. Sometimes life drags us through the mud and everything seems to be going against us. But I want to know this morning, what is keeping you going? What is giving you light at the end of your tunnel? Knowing that we're walking by faith. And our faith is in Jesus Christ and nobody else. Amen? When times get tough, how do we learn to walk by that kind of faith? We can learn from this passage that we walk by faith. Because Jesus and through the Holy Spirit will talk to you. And he will tell you something. And you might not see it. You don't even know where the voice is coming from. But you best, number one, test the Spirit. Number two, realize that's the voice of the Lord speaking to you. Jesus told the woman at the well that he was Christ. And if you drink the water that I gave you, you'll never thirst again. Somebody say amen. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You better believe it. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Jesus said, I am the Son of God. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. Having faith in Jesus makes us believe who he is and who he says he is. As we go through life, we're going to get knocked up and knocked around. We got to keep remember who the Lord is. As we face hard times, we need to keep on believing Jesus. Remember that Jesus is the way. The world is full of lies, but remember that Jesus is the truth. When the doctors look at you and he has that face on like, I don't know what to tell you. Remember that Jesus is a healer, that Jesus is a restorer, that Jesus is a redeemer. Jesus is who he says he is. And if you're a child of Christ, you belong to him. When we pray that prayer, we say, our Father. Our Father. Oh, how to have a Father like Jesus. Our Father. Who art in heaven. How be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. And all you got is this day. Give us this day. Don't give me a week. I can't handle this. Give me this day my daily bread. Hallelujah. We walk by faith. And not by sight. Hallelujah. The Bible says now. Not later. See, we wait for later. You know that candy, now and later? Now and later? That you can have it so long, now and later? That you eat it now, but it still be there later? Faith is not now and later. Faith is now. The Bible says now. Now. Faith is the substance. It is the substance. It is the confidence. It is solid. That's the substance. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. You got to have hope. You got to have hope. When all hope is long, you got nothing. But you got to have hope. And faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence. Can we give the Lord a hand this morning? It is the substance of things. Not yet. Some people say, oh, it's the substance of things not seen. It says not yet. Not yet. If you tell me you're going to give me something and I'm waiting for it and you don't give it to me now and you say not yet, I'm still hoping. I still have faith. I still believe that it's going to happen. It might not happen now. It might not happen not yet, but it's going to happen because you promised. not yet seen. Delay don't mean denial. Come on, somebody. Come on. Delay don't mean denial. You might be waiting for something, but now's not your time. But you hold on to God's unchanging hands. When he uses that word evidence, that word means that it is a thing that is proved. Amen? Evidence is proved. You understand? It is a thing that is proved that's not yet seen. It's already done. He already proved it. But it's not seen yet. The walk of faith for all of us is to believe in Jesus Christ, that he will do what he says he will do. What are the promises we have? Jesus says, all who trust in him will have eternal life. No trust, no eternal life. Because when you trust somebody, have you ever trust somebody? You trust somebody. Amen. There's sometimes, you know, there might be some things that you a little, your mind starts working, you're a little unsure of. But when you trust them, it works out. You might not understand, but it works out. You don't know when it's going to happen, but it works out. But you got to trust. So a promise that Jesus gives us, he promises eternal life to all who trust in him. There's no half trust. There's no 80% trust. You must trust in him. We trust in man more than we trust in God. Jesus said, all that come to him, he'll never cast them out. You trust him. You believe in him, you do what he says do, he'll never cast you out. Look at your neighbor. They get mad at you, they'll kick you out of their house, kick you out of their car, fire you from your job. I don't care what you got in this life. Nothing's permanent. Things are going to happen. It'll get a little shaky sometimes. But Jesus says, trust in me. I'll never cast you out. Jesus said, the truth will set you free. Hallelujah. Satan is a liar. He's a born liar. He's a liar. You can't believe anything that he says. Those lies that have you bound up. Have you ever lied and got bound up? I know some liars that got bound up. You start telling a lie and a lie begets a lie because you got a lie to cover the other lie. But Jesus says the truth will set you free. You don't have to walk around with all that baggage. You don't have to worry about the lie that you said to cover the lie and to make up the next lie. The truth will set you free. You just say it and that's it because it is what it is. Hallelujah. Jesus said, he said, I will freely give to those who ask, who seek, who knock. Why did he say those who ask, those who seek, and those who knock? Amen. Because sometimes we just ask for things. Can I have another piece of bread? Can I have another piece of chicken? Can I have another oxtail? Can I have some more rice? Sometimes we just ask. Sometimes we look for the person that made that, right? Oh, who made that? I need to know who made that. That was so good. And we try to seek it out. Who made that? I need to get me some of that. Tell me who it is. Sometimes we ask. Sometimes we seek. But then sometimes we knock. We knock because we can't do without it. And you knock and you knock and you knock. You want to break the door down. You want to open the store up. You want to kick it in. You want to say, listen, I need this. Whether you ask Jesus, whether you seek after him, or whether you knock at the door, he says, I. Sometimes we got to get desperate. And when you're desperate, he'll still be there for you. He says, I'll give it to you whether you ask, seek, or knock. Don't make a difference. I just want you. I just want you to be mine. I just want you to be my child. My goal is that none should be lost. He says, I know sometimes you get a little tired. Sometimes we get a little weary. Sometimes, you know what? Even if you crawl unto him, he will take you in. Oh, hallelujah. If somebody came crawling to your door, what's the first thing you're going to do? You're going to walk out that door, look down and close it behind you and say, what do you want? What are you doing here? Tell me before I call the police. Jesus said, if you crawl, I'm there. If you're tired, I'm there. If you're weary, I'm there. No matter what condition you no matter what your condition, I'm there for you. Walking in faith requires us and calls for us to do what Jesus says. Amen? We can face anything in life by having faith in Christ. Amen? The doctors say one thing, but Jesus says, believe. Believe in me. And live. Can you imagine if the nobleman had stood there arguing with Jesus? You know, sometimes we are combative people. And if we don't hear what we want to hear, we start talking over talking. And somebody can't get a word in. Could you imagine if Jesus couldn't get a word in? Sometimes we got to be still and be quiet. And let the Lord work. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. We're so busy talking that we're not letting the Lord work. He said, go. Go. Sometimes people will tell you to go, and you turn around all depressed and disappointed. But when Jesus tells you to go, just go. Just go. That means no more words are necessary. I like short conversations. I don't like long conversations. I don't like to be on the phone having a conversation for a long time. It's just not me. Jesus got to the point. Sometimes he gives a parable that's so long that he's teaching to thousands. And sometimes to the individual, he just says a couple of words and that's it. Go. Your boy is healed. We can make it through life because Jesus will bring us through. Jesus always wins. He's already won. It's not a battle. We just fighting. It's not a battle, though. The war is over. Listen, the war is over. We just fighting battles. We got battles. We fight, but Jesus won the war already. It's already done. But fight your battles. Amen? This walk of faith means putting that first foot out in thin air. not knowing if there's something down there, but just putting it out and walking by faith and not by sight. You might not be able to see what's underneath your foot, but if Jesus tells you to take that first step, you need to take that first step. You need to take that step because Jesus says, I never leave you nor forsake you. The devil already knew it when he was tempting Jesus in the wilderness. He says, fall off of this cliff, jump off. Your God, your Father sent all of these angels to get you, won't he? The devil knew that it was possible. When Jesus tells you to take that first step, to go ahead, he knows he's already going to catch you. He knows what's going to happen. There is nothing too far out of reach for Jesus. His desire is to do in you and for you. I said, his desire is to do in you and for you. But he can't do for you if he ain't in you. You got to let him in. He don't work on the perimeter of your life. You know, people want to be around Jesus, but they don't want Jesus to come in. He does not work on the perimeters of your life. Because you got him outside of the box. He wants to be in the box. Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Well, what is the power that works in you? The power that works in you is called the power of faith. In other words, Jesus, God uses people who are not afraid to trust him completely. Come on, somebody. He uses people that are not afraid to trust in him. And that faith that is inside of you produces enormous power for greater purposes. Some people want to do great things but have no great faith. How can you work if you have nothing to work with? How can you work if you don't have the tools that you need to work with? Because faith, by faith, Christ will give you what you need to get the job done, what he desires for you to do. And then he turns around. You say, well, Lord, I don't know how to do this. I mean, I'll do it, but I don't have. He will give you the tools that you need to get it done. Don't you know he has a big tool shed that he opens up and he says, okay, let me see. Minister Ricardo, this is the tool you need right here to get it done. Here, take it. It might not look like the tool that you want, but you take it. Because inside of what he's given you, you don't know what's inside of that. Amen? The more faith we put in God, the more we allow God to direct our lives. Amen? And the more God directs our lives, the more power and blessings we're going to have. So again, I ask you this morning, how's your walk of faith? We sing the song, you move mountains, you cause walls to fall. But do we believe it? With your power. If you don't have faith, you don't have power. We want miracles with no power. You want miracles with no power. You want miracles with no faith. You want walls to fall without no power, without no faith. Let me tell you something. Jesus ain't coming down here to do it for you. He says he do things through the power. And we're standing here today. Come on. And we're standing here today. Only because. And we're standing here today. You went through some situations this week. You're standing here today. Only because he made a way. Let us stand this morning. Hallelujah.